This episode is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. From visiting the in-laws in Indiana to sightseeing in Sicily, a year's worth of travel can come with its share of stress. And Alltrip's annual travel insurance plan can help you tackle every trip you take this year with confidence. Learn more at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. I don't like to say I told you so, but I told you so. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are so honored that you have joined us noon to 3 Eastern on this this radio station and this radio network. Wow, over 100 radio stations now carry the Todd Starnes Show, and we are honored to have all of you on board. By the way, I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you want to weigh in on the conversation today. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, ladies and gentlemen, over the weekend, there were new developments in Minneapolis, and it's an ugly situation. No doubt about it. No which way you look at this thing, it's just ugly. And there are a lot of people that are getting nervous. There are a good many Republicans that are now beginning to distance themselves from President Trump and the administration over the handling of this situation in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, for weeks, I have been warning the administration that they were in danger of losing the narrative, that something was off in the way they were addressing the issues at hand. Now, keep in mind that border czar Tom Homan originally said that most of the emphasis was going to be on rounding up very bad, very dangerous criminals, the most dangerous of the illegals. Those were the folks that they're going to be going after first. They weren't going to be going after, you know, mom and pop Jose and Consuela, who, you know, work construction and clean up the Holiday Inn. That clearly has not been the case. And over the past several months now, Tom Homan has been at odds with the Department of Homeland Security. Kristi Noem and her friend, Corey Lewandowski, running things there. And Tom Homan has basically been just shoved aside. Well, that has changed because now the president's coming in, and the President Trump early announced that Tom Homan would be on his way to Minneapolis to clean up this mess. And it is a mess. And it's a mess on many levels. But the question now, and you will start hearing more, I think we've got, six Republican senators who are now demanding investigations into what happened in Minneapolis. I got no problem with that. I think, you know, anytime somebody gets shot and killed, I think there ought to be an investigation. But what concerns me here is that even members of the Republican Party, of the Oklahoma governor, you folks out in Oklahoma, Governor Stitt, out there saying that that he's got issues with the way things went down yesterday. Well, I want to say something about the police. I've got a lot to say about this today. But it just seems to me that when you're in law enforcement, you have literally a split second to make decisions. And the fact of the matter is, this male nurse by the name of Alex Preddy, as tragic of a situation as this is, he got what he was asking for. And I know that's a little bit of tough love this morning, but the reality is, this guy went there armed with a weapon and tried to stop law enforcement from doing their jobs. It's really that simple. That's what happened. And when in a situation like that where the guy was resisting arrest and all of a sudden you've got a gun involved, yeah, I am not surprised this went the way it did. My question is, Would you have rather had dead federal agents? And the answer on the left is yes, because that's what they want. They actually consider these federal agents to be stormtroopers, to be Nazis. And we're hearing this sort of language coming out of the governor's mansion, out of the lieutenant governor's mansion. And now we know that this is not some sort of an organic grassroots protest out there, that what's really going on is that we are watching a very well-organized, well-funded, well-coordinated militant, really militia, that is waging war against the Trump administration. I mean, that's what's going on. So anyway, the Wall Street Journal, rather, has an editorial, the entire editorial board, and whenever the Wall Street Journal weighs in, everybody gets squirrely. But I'm just curious here, because something's about to happen, and I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on this. Do you believe that President Trump should pause what's happening in Minneapolis right now? Because that's what the Wall Street Journal editorial board wants the president to do. I'm going to read this to you. For those of you who do not subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, they said when Donald Trump visited the Journal in 2024, he was asked how he'd implement his mass deportation policy to avoid appearing to be cruel and inviting a political backlash. His answer was surprisingly nuanced. He said he had to deport illegal migrants because we can't handle these people coming in right now. But the interest from the heart, yes, something's got to be done. I'm not going to do that. Separate families. I can't do that. Okay, thank you. Really good question. I mean, there's some human questions that get in the way of being perfect, and we have to have the heart too. Well, 15 months later, reading from the editorial board column, 15 months later, there isn't much heart in Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The Saturday shooting of Alex Pretty as he lay on the ground surrounded by ICE agents is the worst incident to date in what is becoming a moral and political debacle for the Trump presidency. Now, let me stop here for a moment. Yeah, if the reason why he was on the ground is he was fighting with ICE agents. And it just seems to me when you're being taken into custody, you do what the police tell you. I mean, you don't have to, but it just seems to me that you have to do what law enforcement is telling you to do. Do you believe, though, that this is becoming a moral and political debacle for the Trump presidency? Well, Todd, what about that five-year-old boy, the precious five-year-old boy that was taken into custody? Yeah, because the boy's illegal alien father abandoned him. What were the ICE agents supposed to do, ladies and gentlemen? What were they supposed to do? Now, I'm going to tell you what I think is about to happen. I think that we are about to put a pause on the deportation of the illegals. And a lot of this has just been a big show for you, ladies and gentlemen. And this pains me to say, but it turns out that it's Barack Hussein Obama who happened to be the most effective president at deporting illegals. But there was none of this hellfire and brimstone coming at Obama when all this was going down. As a matter of fact, nearly 60 people died in the custody of ICE and Border Patrol during the Obama administration. Nobody complained about that at all. Not one bit. So we're going to be taking your calls on this, because there is about to be a change in policy, and I think this is the wrong move for President Trump. Here's what should have happened. And by the way, let me say this about Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi going out there over the weekend, and she's upset with me, yours truly. Pam Bondi, as a matter of fact, is coming after me. And I'm okay with that, because it needed to be said. Pam Bondi's out there on the weekend shows, and she's talking about how, well, I sent a strongly worded letter to the governor of Minnesota. Okay, well, what good is that? I mean, how many more letters are we going to be sending out there? How many more letters do we have to send to the governor? That seems to be all the Justice Department is good for, is sending a strongly worded letter. And I don't want to get into it today, but Epstein, still got nothing on that. Russia collusion, still got nothing on that. The sabotage of President Trump's campaign, nothing on that. Mar-a-Lago raids, nothing on that. So I don't know what they're doing over there, but apparently they've got a pretty busy secretarial pool because they're just turning out strongly worded letters. And I don't know if she FedExes things, she did the overnight, and she paid the extra for the stamps, or if this is like snail mail, but I don't think the governor got her letter. And even yesterday, President Trump coming out and saying that they were demanding this, this, and this of the governor of Minnesota. Who cares? I'm tired of the talk, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for action. And that's what needs to happen here, but I don't think we're going to get it from this administration because they're listening to groups like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and if you've listened even at Fox News Channel, Peter Ducey did not even have the moral courage or maybe the intellect to actually push back when the guest was talking about how the ICE agents had basically kidnapped and detained this five-year-old. It's simply not true. It's a lie. It's just a flat-out lie. And as a journalist, you've got to be willing to call them out. But even the folks over at Fox are beginning to go soft on the immigration issue. Well, Todd, we just can't, we don't like all these pictures, all these images. Well, you know what? We didn't have to have that. All you needed to do was send in the strongest force of people you could. We're talking thousands of military personnel, round up all the bad guys and move on to the next city. And to Tom Homan's point, wasn't that what we were supposed to do all along? We weren't supposed to be dragging people out of their homes? But that's what's going on right now. It's a mess. It's a great big mess, which is why Trump is having to intervene now. I have to tell you, Pam Bondi, gotta go. Very nice person, not qualified, not capable to do the job. You know who else? Kristi Noem, gotta go. I mean, the idea that some of the language being used here is just over-the-top rhetoric, and it is not helping things. You have got to go in, you've got to find the bad guys, and get out of there. You know, here's the other issue I have. And again, this is very well coordinated, and now we have information, and we'll get to more of this in just a little bit, but to set up the conversation, there is now information that a lot of these protests are being coordinated and that government leaders, including the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, is in on all of this. They have license plate scanners. They're able to know exactly who you are and where you are at all times. This is not some sort of a grassroots, get out grandma and stand on the street corner and hold a sign. This is a very well-organized and well-funded militia. We're at war with somebody, and the administration knows this, and if they don't know it, shame on them. You had Kash Patel, I don't know what the hell that guy's doing. Kash Patel's on what, Benny Johnson show? And may I just say something here? I'm tired of this nonsense. You know what? Stop going on the little podcasters. Stop going on Fox News Channel. Hold a freaking press conference. Actually, sit down and take some hard-hitting questions for a change. But Kash Patel, oh, well, we're investigating. We know who's behind this. Well, why haven't you arrested them? If you know who's behind it, why not arrest them? In the meantime, last night, you've got these two federal agents. They were guarding a hotel. The mob showed up, beat the living daylights out of these guys. Nobody did anything. The poor guy's blood coming out of their, one poor guy, blood coming out of the mouth, his nose, his fingers, blood all over the place. And he's saying, where are the police? They called for help from the Minneapolis Police Department. Nobody showed up. What does that tell you? But here's what I think is going to end up happening. The administration in the next 24, 48 hours will say, we declare victory, we got who we wanted, and now we're going on to the next town. And we'll all forget about the billions of dollars in fraud, the billions of dollars that the Somalis are stealing from the American taxpayer. All of that will be forgotten. Folks, you know what's happening here? We are setting ourselves up for a disaster in the midterm elections. A disaster. That's what I think is happening here. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, if you're looking for a romantic comedy that's actually funny, uplifting, and safe to enjoy with your family, well, this is it. Angel Studios has done something special with Solo Mio, a film that proves Hollywood can still tell a great love story without crudeness or compromise. The movie set in beautiful Italy, stunning scenery that feels like a breath of fresh air. Kevin James delivers big laughs and real heart, and Jonathan Romy brings a surprising and delightful performance that audiences are going to love. In a world filled with nonstop bad news, it's refreshing to sit down and watch a movie that leaves you smiling. This is wholesome entertainment you can feel good about supporting. So right now, when you become a premium member of the Angel Guild, you'll receive 2 free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. Grab your spouse, your sweetheart, or your family and let's support stories that celebrate humor, hope, and love. Visit angel.com/starns.com today. Folks, if you're looking for a romantic comedy that's actually funny, uplifting, and safe to enjoy with your family, well, this is it. Angel Studios has done something special with Solo Mio, a film that proves Hollywood can still tell a great love story without crudeness or compromise. The movie set in beautiful Italy, stunning scenery that feels like a breath of fresh air. Kevin James delivers big laughs and real heart, and Jonathan Romy brings a surprising and delightful performance that audiences are going to love. In a world filled with nonstop bad news, it's refreshing to sit down and watch a movie that leaves you smiling. This is wholesome entertainment you can feel good about supporting. So right now, when you become a premium member of the Angel Guild, you'll receive 2 free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. Grab your spouse, your sweetheart, or your family and let's support stories that celebrate humor, hope, and love. Visit angel.com/starns.com today. All right, folks, welcome back. And just a word for our good friends that listen to us on our flagship station, KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. We are dealing with a lot of ice and snow here, which could be impacting your radio signal. However, if you listen to our stream, go to kwamradio.com or you can download our app. You'll be able to listen to it without any interruptions at all. But a lot of this stuff is just beyond our what we're able to fix because it is well below freezing. I think it's like 15 degrees outside and just tons of ice. So our apologies, but there's not much else we can do. All right, let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Tom in Salem, Oregon. Hi, Tom. What say you?
Hi there. Yeah, I appreciate it. I think, I'm kind of leaning against pulling out of Minneapolis, but just for the chaos, because I think they want to just take advantage of the chaos and ignore all the fraud, and we need to and kick up the fraud investigations on them. Go to California, and there's a bunch of illegals in there, and but there's also a lot of fraud. So if we have to pull out of California, just start arresting these fraudsters and getting them, let even Omar or what's her name, why don't we arrest her until we get the investigation going on that? Hell, that's one thing she can't explain.
Tom, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, to date, and it's been, a year and a year and a month now, and, the Justice Department hasn't held anyone accountable. So I'm with you. I think we ought to be going after Ilhan Omar. We ought to be going after all of these fraudsters, but we are not. They're just not doing it. And I don't know why. They're telling us, these investigations take years. Really? Because they were pretty quick when it came to arresting grandmas at pro-life centers and spying on Roman Catholics in Richmond, Virginia during the Biden administration.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I think anytime they pick up somebody, they should, stick a poster on the outside of the car or something. Like, this is who we're taking away. This is your murderer, your child rapist. This is who we're picking up.
No, I hear you. They have lost the narrative on that, and I'm with you. And look, anytime an ICE agent is injured, I think we ought to know about it. We ought to see the photos of the injuries over the weekend. They actually did a good job of that. Some poor agent had his finger bitten off by one of these cannibals that's out on the streets marching in Minneapolis, and they posted the photographs. We need to see that. The administration has to take back control of the narrative here, and it is way out of control. And one of the ways they can do that, bye-bye Bondi, bye-bye Christine Ohm and her friend Corey Lewandowski. 901-260-5926, going right back to the phone lines. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is the Todd Stern Show.
In an emergency, every second counts. When you have ADT home security, you can count on peace of mind. With 24/7 monitoring, the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and technology that helps first responders verify your alarm, help is there the moment you need it. Whether you have ADT pros install your system or set it up yourself, ADT will help keep you safe when it matters most. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com to learn more.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hope all you folks are doing well out there. A lot of people without power. I feel extremely terrible for the good people of Mississippi. You guys got that ice storm or the freezing rain, and they're saying that some people, could be without power for weeks, and it is going to be below zero here in the southern states for a while, but all the way up from, Texas, all the way up into the Northeast. You guys be safe out there. You know, ultimately, here's the question that people need to really focus on, because there's being a lot of attention focused on the actions of law enforcement. But the broader question here, and this is for everybody in America, because what's happening now, the behavior of these Minneapolis rioters, it will be replicated in other towns and communities. So here's the question. Do citizens have a right to interfere with official law enforcement activities? Do citizens have a right to interfere with police when they are taking suspects into custody? Do citizens have a right to fight back when police are attempting to arrest them? Because that's what happened Saturday in Minneapolis, and that's what led to that guy, the male nurse, getting shot. A terrible tragedy, but one that could have been prevented, first of all, by not shoving your cell phone into the face of a law enforcement officer trying to conduct an apprehension. So I'm just curious here. Let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Richard in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Todd. Hey, I'm an Army veteran, number one. You take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I'm involved in Georgia. You know, Georgia's elections have the whole United States turned upside down because they're corrupt. And I'm listening to you today, and I just wish there was more people in the media that would address these things and get these people to move. They're not doing anything. I mean, it's been over a year. And look at the extent that they took against President Trump, who's working for no money. He's given up billions of dollars. Nobody has done more. And we have people in the United States that hate him.
Well, it's the level of incompetence at the DOJ and Homeland Security. And again, I guess the argument could be made the buck stops with President Trump. But look, Trump can't do everything. And if these two, Kristi Noem and Pam Bondi, cannot do the job, they got to get out of there. And I don't know what's going on with Kash Patel. But again, it's very clear that there are laws being violated by government leaders, and nobody's being held accountable. I mean, we've got investigations out the wazoo, but I'm tired of the investigations, Richard. I want to see people being held accountable.
Todd, I can't
get behind you any more than I can. I am so ready to take our country back. You know, I'm involved in elections here in
I don't want to get off on that topic. We're going to stay focused today, Richard, and I appreciate the call, but we got to stay focused on this because if we can't get this right in Minneapolis, it's all over. And we have been it is going to be a tough long slog to get these illegals out of here. Doesn't have to be, but it's going to be. And we don't have a lot of time. And the fact of the matter is millions of people got deported under Obama's administration. Millions. And nobody said a word. Nobody. Let's go to Arkansas. Robert, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. So many points, so little time. Yeah, the DOJ needs to be restructured now. And what's going on in Minnesota, you're right, it's going to be replicated because someone is pulling the strings there. You can take it back to Germany. You had someone go into power, and he systematically had built a core. And not everyone was involved, but everyone went along when they saw the power structure. And what's happening in Minnesota is very coordinated. It is very coordinated. And that pistol that was shot, that was that man's pistol. It's a P320. And it's under investigation, has been for a long time, because it's shown that it goes off without the trigger being pulled. But we don't know their playbook. We don't know what they've got planned, and that's why we're failing it there. It's a civil war.
Well, it certainly, yes, it is. It really is. And it's an undeclared civil war, but there is clearly, and this is what concerns me, you've got a network here.
Yes.
And it is a nationwide network of people that are willing to disrupt and cause mayhem. It's very well fed. Look, how many times, remember over the summertime where you would have in like Chicago, New York City, Los Angeles, where the pallets of bricks would be dropped off? I mean, there is a command and control to all of this. And we have got to figure out who those people are and what they're ultimately up to. What is the end goal here?
And prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. Immediately.
1,000%. 1,000%. All right, Robert, thank you for listening. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Matthew in Alaska. Hi, Matthew. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. I used to live in Sykes, and I was a pastor would call over. Now I'm in Alaska, but where we live is about 30 or 40 degrees, so it's a lot nicer than where you're at right now. I agree with you. I think the big thing, this is like one of the first times that I really have seen Trump lose the narrative. He's always been able to rebound, get a control, but this is getting out of just incredibly out of hand. Like, who's getting arrested? Why is Don Lemon, jumping to the church and the others? We need to see people getting arrested, and we're not law enforcement. He's starting to lose, I think, something Trump's never had, and you can speak more to this than me, Todd, but I think he's starting to lose some of his base. And then I had one last a praise for you. Please, you guys, download the app. I just downloaded it. It's a really good app. And then I really was disappointed in something you put in a post, Todd, about the church shooting, and you called out the men, and I just felt like it was really maybe not real sensitive. And I know that's not your forte. It's like, but I just, as a pastor, I like grieve because, you know, you're an advocate for them and you're staying with them. Like, well, I'm going to say it. Where's the men on the church protesters? So anyway, that's just my criticism. I hope you don't take it offensively.
No, but not at all. Look, I'm happy to explain my point there. Yesterday we received more details of the court documents about what exactly happened, and this was a very prolonged occupation of the church, Matthew. And you, according to the court documents, at least one of the ladies of the church, she fell and broke her arm. The mob actually confronted children. I'm reading from the court documents here. The mob confronted the children, and they said, do you know your parents are Nazis? They're going to burn in hell. I mean, that's what they're telling the kids. Parents tried to get their children from Sunday school classes, but apparently the agitators were blocking the stairs, and they were very threatening, aggressive, and intimidating. Another rider was screaming and getting in people's faces, including young children. The kids were weeping. Church members were followed to their cars and surrounded. Many were not allowed to leave. And one child actually said to his father, Daddy, I thought you were going to die. So here is my concern, Matthew. When you go back and look at the videos, the men, nobody did anything. There was no effort except from the pastor. There was no effort by any man in that church to stand up and defend anybody. And I'm just wondering what happened there. You know, why is it that the men of the church did not stand up? I'm not questioning their manhood at all. I'm just wondering what happened there. Where were the deacons? Was there some sort of a church security plan? Because I don't think there was, just based on the vast confusion that we saw in the videos.
Well, I would just say, as a pastor, and I've thought through, like probably every pastor and every church person, I don't want to say if you're right or wrong, but I don't know what I would do. You know, like I would like to say, like, I would be like that pastor, but I don't know if I would really be like that pastor. So I'm just kind of, it'd be good for you to do a segment on church security, just interview somebody. But then I had one other Somali information. I have a lot of Somali friends who come to my church that we're reaching out to. And you will not, these are, some of them are from Minnesota and they're legal. But they told me last year that the majority of the men in the Somali community actually voted for Trump. And, I mean, they're my friends, so they're not just saying that. So, anyway, thanks, Todd. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate the call. And, no, but in all seriousness, you know, when you go back and you look at the videos, you're like, okay, why didn't any men in the church rise up and say, okay, and for me, the issue would have, and look, all of us, we have to be thinking, what would you do in that situation? Be aware of your surroundings. I'm just telling you, I know what I would do. And I've been in those situations before, and I've done what needed to be done, which is you stand up and you do not allow these people, these domestic terrorists, and I know we're not allowed to use those words, but that's what these people are. They went into the church with the intent of committing terror. And they succeeded. They're domestic terrorists. But it just seems to me that somebody should have just started, like, grabbing, because, I mean, well, some of them were large, but most of them were like these skinny soy boy snowflakes. And I'd have just grabbed, you grab them by the belt strap in the back, and you hoist them right out of the church with your right hand of Christian fellowship. That's what I would have done, but anyway. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Steve, Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Todd, you made the comment about the Republicans and stuff. Is this so being so incompetent about the way they're responding to anything? I'll give you another way to think of it and look about it. Is this the plan, the way they're treating this? Because it looks like to me, from both sides, everybody in a position of authority to do something about this is doing nothing but just feeding the fire and flapping their jaws, doing nothing, and trying to get the people to go out in the streets and do it. I think... why aren't any Democrats complaining about the mayor and the governor and everybody up there? They get on television and say ISIS officers are in here committing murder, they're breaking their constitution, they're breaking all these laws. How many ICE officers have been arrested? What have they done to protect their citizens from this? And everybody is just trying to turn this into, in my opinion, call it a civil war, call it a uprising in the streets, whatever you want to. But to me, it looks like both sides are trying to get the people to do it instead of them doing their job.
It's a fair, look, Steve, it's a fair point you raise. And look, I just call it like I see it on this radio show. And I'm not sure what people thought deportation was going to look like. But keep in mind, the deportations have been pretty fine. Let me explain something to you. And I will say this, Bondi mentioned Memphis, Tennessee in her press remarks the other day. I'm sorry, her Fox News interview. And in this Fox News interview, she said things have been going great in Memphis, and it's true. We've had thousands of arrests. Our crime rate is down 70%. We haven't had any of this nonsense, this anarchy. And a lot of it is because the mayor of Memphis, who's a Democrat, understands that at the end of the day, the government's doing him a favor because the mayor is not able to deal with the crime situation. So the federal government's coming in and they're doing it. But let me just say, Steve, if the president pulls everybody out, it will be seen as a major loss and defeat for this president. There's no, and I warned people weeks ago that we would get to a point where it would be a lose-lose proposition for the administration.
There's two social terms that define what's going on right now to me. Revolutionaryism and vigilantism. The Democrat Party is trying to spur their base into revolution, and the Republican Party is trying to spur their base into taking vigilante action against it.
Oh, 1,000% right. Steve, I got to run, my friend. Good to hear from you. 901-260-5926. Got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phones here. Gina in Georgia. Hi, Gina, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. So I want to agree with you 100% about Bondi, Cash, that they need to go. I'm with you. They've done absolutely nothing. Nothing. And they talked such a big game before they went in, so I don't know what happened. I also want to agree with you on the men at the church. And also the fact that Trump or whoever didn't send in any backup after that. You know, it just kind of made it like, well, it's okay to do that. And the other thing I wanted to say, I just saw where Trump has had a phone call with the governor there in Minnesota. And I think he said something like they're on somewhat of the same wavelength maybe. And I can't imagine what similarities they could have in a phone call about this. And it worries me because I'm afraid you may be right that they're going to pull everybody out. Well, if they do that and go on to the next town, well, the paid protesters are just going to do the same thing. And the governor is talking about chaos, and Trump wanted chaos. He is the creator of the chaos, as you all know. And he has brainwashed the people. I know they're the paid ones, true, who could care less either way, but he has brainwashed so many, and especially, yep, those liberal women who are just, I saw some posts yesterday from some people that who never say anything, and they're just mortified. And because of lying Democrats who have taught them that it's okay to go against police, you know, that started with George Floyd and even before, but it really amped up then. And now, I mean, it's just, they're free game to do anything. And, you know, no one's calling that out. Of course, the media won't, but to me, even Fox and some of the others don't really go after, like you said, they should be posting what they're doing to the ICE men. I mean, it's just pure chaos and a fight everywhere they go. I can't imagine being in their position and trying to control a mob who is constantly attacking them. And it just goes on and nobody's stopping it.
Not a single person. And we'll get into what the White House, they issued a statement from the president saying that, you know, it was a good call. They're on the same, you know, wavelength or a similar wavelength. I'm not buying that for 1 minute. I'll have more to say about that coming up after the break. Gina, thank you for those comments. 901-260-5926. We'll be monitoring the White House press briefing. We understand they'll be taking questions, so we'll see how that goes as well. All right, hang tight, everybody. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. So over on CNN, Jake Tapper. Man, what a sorry excuse for a journalist this guy is. Anyway, Jake Tapper interviewing some liberal nutjob who looks like Waldo. He's wearing the Where's Waldo knit cap there. And this guy is now saying that President Trump and ICE are on the verge of putting people in ovens to execute them. Take a listen.
I understand that, but they take people to Fort Snelling here, which literally was built as a concentration camp, and Alligator Alcatraz, which I think we can all agree is a concentration camp. I'm not saying they're Dachau. I'm not saying they're putting people in ovens yet, but these are concentration camps.
Okay. I
don't need to argue with you about
that. Yeah.
No, Tapper's, all right, okay, sure, why not? That's what we're dealing with. The mainstream media is one of the biggest problems in this nation. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, one of the good guys in the media from Twin Cities Radio there in Minneapolis, a great talk radio host, John Justice. John, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. And I hadn't heard that clip yet, and I couldn't facepalm harder if I tried. Unbelievable.
You know, the president, just a few moments ago, we're getting a lot of new developments in a very quick amount of time. And the president saying that he talked to Governor Waltz, and the governor called him, said it was a good call. We seem to be on a similar wavelength. And Trump says, I told Waltz that I would have Tom Homan call him, and that we are looking for any and all criminals that they have in their possession. So he said the governor was respectful. Are you buying any of this?
So it depends on what you mean by buying. I don't expect the operations to end here in Minnesota anytime soon. There was some word that perhaps some of ICE that had arrived here was moving on to some other states, but with what weekend and the ramping up of the agitators, it looks like that those reinforcements are actually staying in place or turning around and coming back. Regarding this conversation between Walls and Trump, I think this is Trump trying to play nice. Walls knows he's in a really tough spot. There was a lot of violence that took place over the weekend. We've moved beyond grassroots into really organized agitators that are on the streets. And so with Homan coming in, I don't expect Trump's operations, ICE operations, to slow down. And this sounds to me like Trump's trying to sort of play nice, saying we're talking with Walls, but I expect more of the same on the ground in terms of the operations.
You know, I'm curious about your listeners, the general mood of the good citizens of Minneapolis. We haven't heard a lot from them in the national news coverage. What are they saying about all of this?
They're tired of the pushback. They understand what people paying attention understand, and that is none of what's happening in Minnesota right now needs to have happened. None of it is necessary. You have Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Virginia, Arizona. They've all had more arrests when it comes to criminal illegals here in America, in those states. They've had more arrests of criminal illegals than we have here in Minnesota, but they've had no issues in those states because federal law enforcement can work with local law enforcement. Trump is right. The sanctuary policies have really destroyed the infrastructure of law enforcement and created this chaos on the streets. The listeners are sick and tired of hearing the propaganda, the rhetoric, and the lies. They want ICE to finish the job because we all know eventually they will end. They are frustrated with what's happening, and we're all frustrated, especially by the loss of life. But they're frustrated at the fact that none of this, just like I am, needs to be happening right now. If the dynamics were different and we didn't have these policies put in place by the Democrats here in Minnesota.
You know, I look at these protesters out there, and there has been some reporting over the past 24 hours that this is all very well organized and coordinated, almost as if it's some sort of a professional militia. Are you hearing those reports? Can you verify any of that?
Yes. So what's basically happened is, because this has been going on for so many weeks, you've actually been able to watch. I've been able to watch just because of the nature of what you and I both do. You know, we follow this stuff on a daily basis. And so you can see this transpire. I've been able to watch how the protest movement has evolved. It started off really at the local level. You had a lot of just a lot of single white males. Liberal white females that were out there protesting. You know, this is what, of course, led to the Rene Good tragedy that took place. You had average individuals that were kind of going out and watching and observing. But over time, you've had more and more people coming into the state. You've seen this get more and more organized. And on Saturday, it was really telling because the people on the ground where this recent shooting took place, they will tell you firsthand that there were individuals on site already in that location before ICE arrived. And that's because there is a large contingent of individuals using the Signal app in these chat rooms, and they've been organizing and telling people where to go and set up for when ICE arrives. They've actually been getting out ahead of it. So this has morphed into something really dangerous, incredibly organized, coming from a lot of people outside the state. And there's been independent reporting of people that have infiltrated these Signal chat groups that can prove that this is taking place. And there's a lot more that's going to come out about this particular angle today and throughout the rest of this week.
John Justice joining us from Twin Cities Radio there in the Minneapolis area. You know, John, it's, it's a horrible thing, a terrible thing that happened to this guy. But it just seems to me that, and there are multiple layers here, and nobody's wanting to talk about that, including a lot of the Republicans on the national level. You know, the reality is this guy inserted himself into an official police operation. He tried to obstruct that operation. Then when the police tried to take him into custody, he resisted arrest. And, of course, we now know what happens here. My concern is the message this is sending to all the other protesters out there across America, that they have some sort of a constitutional right to get the right to get in the faces of these officers.
Well, and they've been encouraged to do so. I mean, you know, about a little less than 2 weeks ago, you had that incredibly irresponsible and reckless speech that Governor Tim Walz gave, where he told people to continue to go out and, you know, and watch and observe. I mean, he's encouraging all the leadership, all the Democrat leadership has been encouraging individuals to continue to go out and observe. But as we all know, they're not just observing. They're getting in the way of law enforcement. And you're right. This was another horrific tragedy that took place on Saturday. But this individual, you know, at some point, he made the decision to bundle up, brave the freezing temperatures. He had a right to carry, but he decided to bring his firearm with extra magazines and go down and get in the way of ICE and Border Patrol and their enforcement. There's video footage of him before he even came in contact with them. He's standing in the middle of the street, breaking the law, obstructing traffic. And even if this turns out, once the investigation is done regarding this shooting, you know, because it's a really messy situation, and the videos up to sort of get to exactly what happened. I leave that up to the Second Amendment experts and, you know, and those that know better than I do to go and figure that out. But let's just say for the sake of argument that it was a bad shoot. It doesn't change the dynamics of what ICE is doing. ICE needs to continue to do what needs to be done, and people would not be getting injured if they just stayed home.
It's really that simple, right? Quick, before we let you go, John, and we just so appreciate all the great work you guys are doing out there and giving the rank and file, the general Joe Blow citizens of Minneapolis a voice in all of this. I'm just curious, what are the locals saying about the level of fraud? Did they always know the fraud existed? Is this a shock to the people there? And what do they want to see the administration do?
Well, there's a lot of frustration right now because, you know, people think that this is all, you know, burying the fraud. I'm not concerned because there's investigations going on that are going to expose more fraud even when these ICE operations end up coming to an end. We've known that there has been fraud in these various social service programs for a long time. We just did not know the extent and the details of how it was being conducted. Now we know that. Now we know it's the billions of dollars. And people here in Minnesota are fed up. This is our tax dollars, you know, in a state where we're already taxed to the teeth. And this is going to have, I know people are focused on ICE and everybody thinks this is going to impact, you know, the elections later this year. But just wait. Fraud's going to be back center stage, and this is going to be the defining moment in this election later on this year here in Minnesota. And I think as this gets revealed around the country, it will as well. But people in Minnesota, regardless of political affiliation, are fed up with the fraud, and they want something done about it, which means they want people held accountable, especially at the highest levels, if they knew what was going on. And it certainly is starting to appear that way.
All right. Well, John, we really do appreciate your time with us today. Good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. Anytime.
All right. Good guy right there. John Justice on the airwaves there in Minneapolis, St. Paul. By the way, the guy's father, the male nurse, his father, did an interview with the Associated Press. And the father says, well, you know, we told him that he was going to go down there, and we told him, you got to be careful, don't go overboard, don't, you know, get into a fight with ICE agents. So clearly the family knew that this guy was a hothead and was going to do something. Now, here's the other part of this. Did you know that in some states, There are actually mandatory disclosure rules. So if, let's just say that you are detained by police or you come into contact with the police, you immediately upon contact have to say, officer, I have a concealed carry license, and I have a weapon on my person. And you're actually required to disclose that. In Minnesota, you are not. So, again, going back to the facts as they are laid out for us, this guy would have been alive had he not attacked police. It's really that simple. All right. Meanwhile, there's another component to all of this, and I know Second Amendment folks are up in arms. Pardon the pun. FBI Director Kash Patel announced yesterday that you are not allowed to bring firearms to a protest. Here's what Kash Patel said. This is a direct quote on, yes, Fox News, ladies and gentlemen, Fox News. You cannot bring a firearm loaded with multiple magazines to any sort of protest that you want. It's that simple. You don't have that right to break the law and incite violence. Now, as far as we know, the nurse was a legal gun owner. And carrying a handgun is, in fact, legal in Minnesota. The Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus said Patel's statement was completely incorrect on Minnesota law. So I'm just curious, are you in agreement here or disagreement with your FBI director, Kash Patel, who now says it's illegal to bring a firearm to any sort of a protest? By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Our good buddy, Matt Velasquez, Patriot Talk 920. And Lord willing, I'm supposed to be in Houston for a big speech tomorrow. We're going to have a great luncheon with the Village Republican ladies. Lord willing, because the roads in Memphis are insane. Apparently, the storm ended Sunday. All of the roads are barely passable. They're not passable. They're impassable. It's not good. I've got, and here's what gets me. If I can just take a break from Minnesota for just a second. So anyway, they said, Starnes, what you got to do is put out the ice melt. So I went down to the hardware store, and we got like five giant bags of ice melt. Spent all day Friday after the Newsmax show putting down the ice melt. Came here Saturday, and the ice melt was there. Unfortunately, it was under about an inch or so of ice. And then it got here this morning, and I don't know, it's about, 7 inches of frozen ice. And the way the wind was blowing, it made like a hill to get into the door. We literally had to use rock climbing gear to get into the building today. I mean, that's how crazy it is out there. All that to say, I really do hope that I'm in Houston tomorrow if I can get to the airport. It took me Normally it takes, what, 10 minutes to get to the our palatial bunker studios here in East Memphis. It took me like an hour, 15 minutes to get there. Crazy. All right. So hope you, all that to say, I hope you guys are doing well wherever you are. And if you're snowed in, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Anyway, Velasquez, getting back to his comment, he's a big gun owners guy, big Second Amendment radio station down in Houston. He said, hey, Todd, Kash Patel spoke at the Gun Owners of America convention in 2024 and was supposed to be the gun owner's friend. Patel and Bondi both seem to now be the anti-gun choices. You know, that is a very interesting observation. Gun Owners of America releasing this statement as well, saying, we are saddened by the loss of life in Minneapolis. Because details remain limited and facts still emerging, it is essential the Justice Department conduct a complete, transparent, and prompt investigation so the public can fully understand what occurred and maintain confidence in the rule of law. Furthermore, we condemn the untoward comments of the U.S. attorney. Federal agents are not highly likely to be legally justified in shooting concealed carry licensees who approach while lawfully carrying a firearm. The Second Amendment protects Americans' right to bear arms while protesting, a right the federal government must not infringe upon. Finally, the left must stop antagonizing ICE and Border Patrol agents who are taking criminals off the streets and play a crucial role in protecting communities and upholding the rule of law. And by the way, the U.S. attorney for the Central District of California says, if you approach law enforcement with a gun, there is a high likelihood they will be legally justified in shooting you. Don't do it. Well, that is simply incorrect, unless you're actually pointing the weapon at the ICE agent. Then you're probably going to get shot. But you do have a constitutional right to legally carry at any sort of a protest. It's really that simple. And for Kash Patel to come out and say something like that is, as the FBI director, either he is ignorant of the law or he doesn't really care. And either one of those is not, it's not a good look right now for the administration. Wow, what a mess the Justice Department is. You know, I am curious, does Pam Bondi need to go? Is it time to say bye-bye, Pam Bondi? Do we need new leadership in the Justice Department? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And just remember that it's Governor Waltz, the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Fry, the lieutenant governor, all Democrats who have encouraged these left-wing agitators to go out there and break the law in the first place. All right, got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, don't forget the Todd Stern Show tonight on Newsmax 2. Millions of Americans tuning to Newsmax, watching on cable, going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in the country. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. Let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people. All right. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know what I find interesting is that the Minneapolis police chief, a guy by the name of Brian O'Hara, this guy is actually saying the quiet part out loud. It doesn't really matter what the investigations say, right? It doesn't matter what the facts are. They've got a narrative and they're sticking to it. Cut number three, please.
From what you have seen in the public space and heard from federal officials, is there any evidence that you know of that Preddy was assaulting the federal officers as the Border Patrol chief claims?
Well, I've seen the videos just as thousands of people around the country have, and the videos speak for themselves. I think it's deeply concerning, the things that are being said. This is an individual that was a city resident. It appears that he was present, exercising his First Amendment rights to record law enforcement activity, and also exercising his Second Amendment rights to lawfully be armed in a public space in the city. So I think very obviously there are serious questions that are being raised, and I think the greater issue is, even if there is an investigation that ultimately proves that at the time of the shooting it was legally justified, I don't think that even matters at this point, because there is so much outrage and concern around what is happening in the city.
What do you mean it doesn't matter at this point? You mean the situation on the ground is already, the impression is left?
People have had enough. This is the third shooting now in less than 3 weeks. The Minneapolis Police Department went the entire year last year recovering about 900 guns from the street, arresting hundreds and hundreds of violent offenders, and we didn't shoot anyone. And now this is the second American citizen that's been killed. It's the third shooting within 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. People have been speaking out, saying that this was going to happen again. And I think everyone is kind of waiting for folks on both sides to come together and just figure this thing out. This is not sustainable. This police department has only 600 police officers. We are stretched incredibly thin. This is taking an enormous toll trying to manage all of this chaos on top of having to be the police department for a major city. It's too much.
All right. So that's the police chief in Minneapolis. I want you to hear Sheriff Grady Judd. He's a sheriff in Florida. And I want you to hear his take on a very similar situation. Cut 7.
Hello, I'm Sheriff Grady Judd. I've spent my entire adult life in law enforcement, and I have never heard of one law enforcement agency not helping another when they call for help, until this weekend, when a chief of patrol for the Chicago Police Department instructed the police officers not to run in and help their colleagues who were calling for help, who were under attack by a bunch of people clearly violating the law. That's scary. Let me give you the antithesis of that. We had a single man resist ICE agents and get away from them in our community. We sent a helicopter, a drone, K-9, and 50 law enforcement officers to surround an area, and we found that guy who violently resisted ICE, and we locked him up in jail where he should have been. If you allow anarchists and criminals to run wild in your community, people will die. People will be shot. Now, let me say this. For other law enforcement leaders across this state and nation, you need to be standing up saying the same exact thing that I am. Because when you have a breakdown of the rule of law, when you allow anarchists, criminals to take over the streets and attack law enforcement officers and then not send them help, that's a slippery slope, a real slippery slope.
Yeah, it is. And I look, that's the difference between law and order and anarchy right there. By the way, Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida says that state police are under orders to round up illegal alien drivers. Cut number 11, please.
We grieve the death.
I'm sorry,
of
13.
Now, the other thing that we've done is, if you have somebody illegally driving on the roads and they don't have a license, our highway patrol will find that and then turn them over to DHS. Obviously, you do that. You have a criminal alien, leaves prison, we'll tell DHS. They come pick them up, and then they send them home to their country. You got to do that. Enforcement matters, but you also can help solve this problem by removing incentives to come and stay illegally. So we've done things like employment verification in Florida, E-Verify.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you, Governor. And that's the way it ought to be. It really should. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on all these developments. But the latest, Tom Holman has been dispatched to Minneapolis to clean up this mess and try to get the administration back on track. But hear me on this, folks. Look, the administration is doing a great job here. Overall, I mean, when you look at the numbers, the American people support the efforts of ICE to deport all of these very bad and dangerous people. So the only issue from my vantage point is the narrative coming out of the White House. And the problem is everybody wants to be the next Donald Trump in that administration. So they get out there and they use the charged rhetoric and the outlandish statements and the hyperbole. That doesn't work for anybody except for one guy, and that is Donald J. Trump. Your job is to not upstage the boss, and that's what's happening here. And it just seems to me somebody at that White House, and this may have actually happened this morning, somebody at the White House needs to call Pam Bondi and say, nobody else goes on Fox News Channel. Nobody, because we're getting reports that they're shutting down all interviews today coming out of DHS as well as the DOJ. So we'll see how long that lasts, but that would tell me that they're not happy with what Pam Bondi is doing. Can you imagine poor Donald Trump? He's got all these other issues that he's dealing with, and now he has to step into this mess that was created by his own cabinet secretaries. And I don't think that's right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. So the attorney, so the church, remember the church in St. Paul, Minnesota? So they've got themselves an attorney now, and the pastor of this church is speaking out, doing interviews, saying that they want people held accountable for what happened in their church. And I don't blame them one bit. Let's take a listen to Mr. Wardlaw, the attorney representing the church. From the Newsmax show, Wardlaw. First, what's your reaction here? We've got three people arrested. Seems to me a lot more folks ought to be in jail, but so far, so good.
Yes, and thanks for having me on, Todd. Absolutely. So far, so good. We hope that there will be more arrests. You know, those agitators who invaded City's church in St. Paul, they really shattered its peace, and they intimidated and terrorized its members, preventing them from engaging in worship. And you can see that from their own videos, you know, from the invasion, and then interviews afterwards. The agitators have essentially confessed their guilt, including Don Lemon, Nikema Levy Armstrong. They're actually proud of what they did. And their videos show that they broke the law, and now they need to be held accountable for their illegal and un-American acts. And that's what we're talking about here, acts that are un-American, because the First Amendment protects the right of people to worship God in the way that they see fit, you know, peaceably in a church.
Sure. Yeah, Don Lemon, by the way, is now goading the Justice Department to come and get him. Let's take a listen.
Look, I stand proud and I stand tall. This is not a victory lap for me because it's not over. They're going to try again and they're going to try again. And guess what? Here I am. Keep trying. That's not going to stop me from being a journalist. None of this is about justice. This is about power, and it's about people who are incompetent.
So he's claiming now that one of the reasons he's being targeted is because he's a gay black man. I would contend he's being targeted because he stormed a church, shut down a worship service, and terrorized women and children. What say you?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, Don Lemon joined with a group of lawless agitators, and he stormed a church. He met with them prior to the incident at another location. He went in to the church when the agitators kind of executed their plan, if you will, to disrupt the service. They all went in pretending to be worshipers, essentially, and then they, at a certain predetermined point, they stood up and started screaming and shouting, and Don Lemon was right there to videotape it and to go up to the minister there and ask him questions, and they refused to leave, and children and families were fleeing the sanctuary. The protesters were obstructing people's exit at certain points. There was just a lot of chaos. It was terrible lawlessness. You know, contrary to what Mr. Lemon believes, there is no press pass to invade a sanctuary or to interfere with the right to worship, or to interfere with folks who are exercising their First Amendment protected rights to worship God in the way they see fit and to exercise their their religion. You don't get to do that. And there's actually a federal law that makes that a crime, the FACE Act, also a conspiracy against rights. And those federal crimes have been charged against three individuals already. And, you know, Don Lemon, the story's not over for him yet. I'm very hopeful that the Justice Department will take further actions, you know, and I believe they probably will. We're hopeful that they will, to call him to account. And they can do that, you know, for example, by convening a grand jury to indict him. That's another way charges can be brought against him. And I think he will face justice.
Here's what concerns me. I think we have to throw the book at all of these folks. Otherwise, people are going to think that they have a constitutional right to go in and disrupt church services across the country. And let me just say this, Doug. This could have gone south in a very, very quick way. Just a couple of months back, you had a Catholic church there in Minneapolis that was shot up. I mean, no one inside that building had any idea what the intent of those rioters were on that day.
Right, that's exactly right. It's very important that we make an example here. And, you know, City's Church, we're honored to represent City's Church here at True North Legal. They are very concerned to see that no terrible act like this, no invasion of a church happens ever again in Minnesota or anywhere else in America. It should never happen. And it's very important that the First Amendment protects the right of people to worship, but it's up to state and federal officials then to make sure that the First Amendment is active and is not just an empty promise. That's why we have laws like Section 2 of the FACE Act, which makes it a crime to intimidate people and interfere with people who are engaging in worship. You know, there's a provision of that law that also allows a state attorney general to bring a civil lawsuit. So Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison should be right now announcing his plans to do exactly that. He should be going to the public and saying, we're going to bring a lawsuit under the FACE Act on behalf of the state protecting the people. But he's not doing that. No, he's refusing to do that. Instead, he's siding with the church invaders. He's inviting chaos into Minnesota, and that's what's caused this really to happen. Is we've had an environment of chaos in Minnesota because officials like Ellison, like Walls, they're not enforcing the law. They're not standing up to protect the freedoms of Minnesotans. They're inviting in the chaos and lawlessness, even to the point of people entering into a church and intimidating and terrorizing families there, and it really has to stop.
Okay, I've got about 20 seconds here. Do you want to see Don Lemon behind bars and all those other folks?
Absolutely. That's what we want to see, because we need to set an example so that Americans can go to church and worship God freely, worship Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and do that without having to fear that someone's going to come into the church and intimidate them, terrorize them, or what have you. That is just unacceptable and un-American.
All right. And it really is un-American. And we have got to make sure that these rioters do not start targeting churches around the country. That is just simply unacceptable. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, one of the things that I'm happy to see here, you've got all these folks at Fox News. Many of them are not conservatives, and they don't even attempt to, you know, they don't even try to cover it. One of them is Kennedy, who is a regular on The Five, and that, what's the show with all the women? One Lucky Guy show? I don't know what it's called. Harris Faulkner hosted. So you've got all these folks going after the administration. Peter Ducey. Maria Bartiromo over the weekend. These are not true conservatives, and their colors come out in instances like this when you've got to really stick with it. It is an ugly thing that happened over the weekend, but it was entirely preventable and had nothing to do with federal agencies or officers. It had everything to do with these rioters who were out there disrupting. And I know people are like, don't call that guy a domestic terrorist. I will call him a rioter. The guy intentionally tried to insert himself into the middle of an official police action. He got what he got. And I'm just telling you right now that every single one of those federal agents, they're grieving what happened, because they don't ever have to shoot anybody, but they want to be able to come home to their families at night. And when you've got a guy attacking police and refusing to follow their commands, okay. Play stupid games, you're going to win stupid prizes. Again, a terrible tragedy. A terrible tragedy. But what's interesting about these kinds of situations, you find out who really is a conservative and who is faking it. And we get to see all of that play out on our TV screens.
By the way, here's Oklahoma's governor. Governor Stitt, and he's really upset about all of this. Cut number five.
Broad agreement. President Trump closed the border, promised to get violent criminals out of our country, and I think everybody agrees with that. But now Americans are asking themselves, what is the end game? What is the solution? And, you know, we believe in federalism and state rights, and nobody likes feds coming into their state. And so what's the goal right now? Is it to deport every single non-U.S. citizen? I don't think that's what Americans want. We have to stop politicizing this. We need real solutions on immigration reform. And I believe that I've got a great solution, that we should give the states the authority to do workforce permits, right?
So are you saying that they should pull out of Minnesota?
Well, I think that the president has to answer that question. He is a deal maker, and he's getting bad advice right now. The president needs to let the American people, what is the solution? How do we bring this to conclusion? And I think only the president can answer that question because it's complicated. We have to enforce federal laws, but we need to know what is the end game. And I don't think it's to deport every single non-U.S. citizen.
Well, that's exactly what we want. Look, the Republicans need to pay very close attention here. Listen up, Republicans. And I'm talking about the elected leaders. We voted for Donald Trump and a majority Republican Congress for that one reason, to deport all of the illegals, the, as he called them, the non-citizens. Yes, we want them all to go back to where they came from. How hard is that to figure out? All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right, it's really cold outside. So, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Well, the professional weather guessers got it wrong again, and I'm actually kind of glad they did, at least for Memphis. Horrible news for you people in Mississippi, but really, the weather is insane from Texas all the way to New York City. I'm supposed to be in Houston tomorrow. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get to the airport. It normally takes me 10 minutes to get it. It took well over an hour to get into the office today. The roads are just insanely bad in Memphis. And for whatever reason, we don't have snow plows, and, well, it's just a bad situation. Also, for our listeners on radio station KWAM, that's our flagship station, your AM signal may be a little spotty today, and it has everything to do with the ice accumulation. I was just out in the satellite garden in back of our palatial studios, and I was trying to knock off some of the ice. It's about, 3 inches of ice on our satellite dish. And so that's the reason why it's a little spotty. So bear with us. It's not going to get any warmer. That's the thing. And somebody was telling me they would not be surprised if kids don't go back to school in Memphis until maybe February. I mean, that's how bad it is here. It's even worse in Mississippi. The mayor of Oxford says that it's catastrophic. If you've been to that town, they have beautiful trees. And I'd said had beautiful trees because most of them were taken down by the storm and all the freezing rain they got. The same situation up in Nashville. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Pamela Furr joins us. She lives in Middle Tennessee. Pam, what's the situation there in the Nashville area?
Oh, my gosh. I would put it in a catastrophic category as well. We have more than 200,000 people who remain without power and at this point have been without power for about 24 hours. And as the crews, the electric crews, you've got different companies here, but let's just say Nashville Electric Service, as they're getting power lines back up because a tree may have taken one out and transformers blown, as they're repairing it, they leave, and in their rearview mirror, another tree will fall and take out the work they just did. So it just keeps happening and happening because, as you mentioned, the ice isn't melting. The temperatures are still cold enough that this stuff remains frozen. Or if by chance anything is in snow, I'm sorry, in the sun, it might melt a little bit. But once that sun moves away, it melts, it freezes right back. It's really treacherous here. A lot of the old trees taking out power lines. Todd, there's another story, too, which is kind of tragic. But you've got power lines being taken down by trees. Sometimes it's also pulling away from houses, right, when the trees come down and the lines come down. Once power gets restored, there's been several stories of houses catching on fire. And so you've got families who are losing their homes at this point because of all
this. Wow.
This is, it's bad. It's really bad. 65 is closed down. A tractor trailer jackknifed, hit one of the T-dot signs, and the T-dot sign came crashing to the ground because it was so heavy with ice.
Mm. According to the National Weather Service, nearly 15 inches of snow in New York City, and they haven't seen that amount of snow in years. Mm. There in New York City. When you get that much, everything shuts down. I don't care what they tell you about being able to, you know, Northerners drive better. No, I don't care. That much snow, nobody goes anywhere. I only know that because I lived there for 15 years.
Yeah.
And they're just as bad driving in the snow as we are down here.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I heard this too, Todd. I heard that the airline shut down or canceled historic numbers of flights. Like, they haven't seen that many flights canceled or grounded since 9/11.
Wow, it's insane. I know Memphis International flights, I mean, thousands and thousands of flights are being canceled. Yep. And again, I'm supposed to be flying to Houston tomorrow, Pamela. I don't even know if I'm getting out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there because, you know, we just have, you know, we don't have snow plows here. But I'll tell you what we do have, Pamela. There's some video going viral. People are using tables, like, you know, when you go to church supper, you know, those kinds of tables, they're turning them upside down and using them as sleds. And people are, I'm not kidding you.
Not a bad idea.
And also car hoods. So like the hoods of cars.
That's interesting. Well, speaking of the flights here in Nashville, they shut the airport down last night because they didn't have enough air traffic controllers because they couldn't get to work because the roads were so bad.
No, I believe that. I mean, it's and I can only imagine. I've been seeing a lot of the images coming out of Mississippi and Ole Miss, and many of you have been to the Grove for the tailgating during SEC football season, and it's devastating. And I think a lot of it has to do with this the freezing rain, right? It falls as rain and immediately freezes. It just encapsulates everything it touches.
Absolutely. For us here, we got the snow first and then the freezing rain on top of that. So it freezes the snow that's underneath it. So now you have 1, 2, maybe 3 inches of ice. It's pretty devastating. We haven't, in Middle Tennessee, we haven't seen anything like this since 1994. When power for some people was out, you know, up to a month. I think technology has gotten better since then, but they're thinking that there will be people without power for at least a week.
Really?
Yeah.
I am curious. I know we have a lot of listeners in that area. Someone sent me some photographs of Helen, Georgia, and I guess you guys in the North Georgia area, WDUN, you guys got some ice up in those parts. So let us know how you're doing. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Pamela, did you guys lose power? You guys doing well?
Well, for me personally, I have not lost power. I'm knocking on wood and thanking Jesus for that. But I live in Williamson County, but the majority of Williamson County ended up losing power. So it's bad. And Davidson County is really, really bad at this point. But I'm good. I had my provisions, though. I took, you know, the advice of those that make those decisions, and I stocked up on my bread and my milk and my eggs. So I'm like 3 days into French toast. So I'm pretty good at this point.
I love French toast.
But at any rate, but seriously speaking, I mean, it's always good to be prepared for situations like this. I charged all of my phones and computers and whatnot just to be on the safe side. And I think those that are without power are glad that they did that.
I got two 8-packs of Dr. Pepper. Just stuck them outside. They got really cold.
That's your drink of choice, is it?
Yeah, well.
good to know.
On the record, it is. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, Pamela, I'm just shocked because Davidson County, that's where all the rich people live. I'm shocked they let the power go out there. But maybe
well,
you're.
Williamson County, I think, is where all the rich people live. And you're right.
Oh, my goodness.
But it seems like they. Seriously speaking, Williamson and Davidson have the majority of the power outages at this point. If you see pictures, if you get a chance, anybody listening, if you look up Music Row or downtown Nashville, you will. You've got power lines down everywhere. It looks like a bomb, an ice bomb went off.
Mm. All right. Well, Pamela, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate the update. Stay warm, my friend.
Yes, sir. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. See you later. Pamela Furr, trying to stay warm in Nash, Vegas. But I am curious how you folks are faring out there. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Mike in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind today?
Hey, greetings, Todd. Yeah, I've still got 7,000 gallons of aircraft de-icing fluid if anybody's running short, but that's the Y2K joke of the day. Anyway.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Actually, I've watched these videos, and I see the goons clapping hands after they murdered the guy. He's on his knees. He's disarmed. Prior to that, he's just videotaping until they shoved a woman on the ground. And he tried to help her up, and then they jumped on him. So, I know a lot of people that's been in the military and in war zones, they don't just execute somebody like that, even if they've got a gun. And certainly in this country, my concern is that the IDF are training these goons. We've got good people in ICE. We've got good people in the FBI. But something's gone crazy with this one little group of people. They need to be snatched up and locked up and find out what's going on and why they're being so heavy-handed on these people, because these are all looking like staged events where they're creating the scenario by which, as you said a month ago, you're waiting for public executions. That's what they're doing.
So you're telling me, Mike, I just want to make sure we're on the same line of thinking here. So you believe the federal agents are intentionally gunning down people in the streets of Minneapolis?
I do. Public executions. You had mentioned it over a month ago, and I pay attention to your show daily, and I know that you cover a lot of ground. And so I listen in, like a lot of people do. And when you talked about that, I'm looking at the writing on the wall of the operations that are going on. I've lived in this area for a long time. I remember when they did the community farming training out at Wolf River Aviation, where they're training foreign troops how to go door-to-door and eliminate the population in West Tennessee. So I know all about this stuff. I'm here to tell you, what they're doing is not legal. It's not part of any, if it's the training that they're doing, it's totally unlawful what they're doing.
What exactly? I'm just curious here. So let's just say it for the sake of the argument. You're driving down, say, Poplar Avenue in Memphis, Tennessee, and you see, a half a dozen or so police officers, and they've pulled over somebody, and they're in the middle of a police action. You jump out of your car. You immediately run up into the faces of those law enforcement agents as they're trying to do whatever they're trying to do. And you're saying that you have a right as a citizen to do that. You have a right to interrupt and interfere with official police business?
Neither of these two that were murdered ran up in anybody's faces. The goons ran up to them.
No, the guy, I mean, when you, the videos I'm looking at, I see they were trying to apprehend a woman, and then the guy who got shot comes up and interferes at that point.
He's standing there when the guy throws the woman to the ground right in front of him, and he tries to pick the woman up. He's being a gentleman. He's trying to help her.
So again, back to the Memphis. So you see the suspect that the Memphis police are trying to apprehend drop to the ground. You rush over and try to help that person up. You're saying that's legal? I mean, you should be allowed to do that, so that law-abiding citizens should be able to go in and interfere with official police action.
They threw the woman to the ground.
Doesn't right matter. No. They were trying to apprehend her.
They threw her to the ground. They weren't trying to apprehend her. They were trying to assault her.
I see. So let me just. So are you trying to tell us, Mike? And again, you sound very reasonable. That President Trump has deployed government agents to go out and randomly hunt down, shoot, and kill people on American streets.
Well, it sure looks that way. I don't know that President Trump is actually calling the shots, but somebody somewhere is pulling the strings, because what these people are doing is not normal law enforcement practices. It's not military practices. It's a violation of not only United States law, the Constitution, but under international law, it's totally illegal.
Well, let me ask you another question here. So last night, you had these two federal agents, and they're guarding a Hilton hotel property. The mob descends upon them, and they beat the agents to a bloody pulp. Are you okay with that?
I don't know anything about it, Todd, to be honest.
How do you,
really, I don't.
No, in all seriousness, though, I mean, are you okay? Yesterday, and the reason I'm asking, there's a reason I'm asking this question. Yesterday, there was a federal agent whose finger was literally bitten off by one of the protesters. I don't hear anybody complaining about that or protest. I just don't hear anything about that. Almost as if people are out there justifying these kinds of actions against law enforcement.
No, that would be something I would like to see.
Yeah, it's like the video's all over the website. There is. Yeah, I would go check it out.
I've been busy putting snow chains on tires for the last 12 hours. So
no, I understand. I wish I had the snow tires. You see, that's what I need. Mike, I'm going to let you go. You've given our audience something to chew on there. Mike from Memphis, ladies and gentlemen, believes that these are assassinations. And these are, I guess, government-sanctioned assassinations on people. What say you? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. When we come back, we're going to check in with Debbie. She's got some info and intel on the weather situation. Manny in Idaho. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phones. Cape Coral, Florida. Debbie is on the line. Debbie, what is going on? What is on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to share with you, my son is a Montana smoke jumper. Those are those men and women that get in the airplanes and jump into those big wildland fires out in the Northwest Pacific.
Oh.
And part of their defense strategy is cutting down trees. So his team, his crew, has been deployed. As of tomorrow, they will be in Mississippi helping to cut down those trees and get them out of the way to clear the roadways.
Is that right? You know, Debbie, I mean, it's really, really bad in Mississippi. And Iuka, someone just sent me some photos from a little town called Iuka, and they say it could be weeks before the power gets back
on. Wow. Wow. Well, I just, you know, it just kind of makes my heart feel strong when I see all of us as Americans coming together. And I mean, those men are way out in Montana, and they're getting on a flight to go into Mississippi, and they're proud to do it.
Well, that just does my heart good as well. And here's hoping that by the time they get finished cutting down those trees, maybe they'll get some R&R on Beale Street and get some good barbecue in them while they're in the Mid-South.
I'm sure they would appreciate that Southern hospitality. And if I can just say, Todd, on that last caller that you had, he's an absolute nincompoop if he thinks that our ICE agents are out there assassinating are Americans. I mean, they are in a defensive strategy right now. And when their life is in danger and they're in harm, they are doing exactly what they need to be doing. And I just lift them up in prayers every day.
Well, we ought to be doing that. And Debbie, I'll say this. My concern is that we've got those federal agents there and they don't have enough resources they need. And especially when you've got law enforcement, you know, the local police department,
right,
they're not doing anything to help these guys and gals.
It's a shame. It's an absolute shame.
Mm. All right, Debbie, I want you to you tell, is your son, is that who's a member of the team?
Yes.
Well, you tell him that we are so thankful and we can't wait to have them down here in Dixie.
All right. Listen, take care. God bless, Todd.
All right. God bless, Debbie. Debbie from Cape Coral, Florida. I like Debbie. That's a great call. And God bless all of you folks. I know a lot of linemen are coming down, and I just can't say enough stuff about the linemen of America. And they're doing a great job getting our lights back on because it's just a big mess. And I know in Louisville, did I see somebody was doing, they had an Amish guy in a buggy in Louisville, and they were doing donuts in the buggy with the horses. I don't know how they did it, but it's the Amish. So rock on, my friend. Rock on. All right, hang tight, folks. Got to take a quick break, going directly to your calls. We've got Kendall in Georgia. You're up next on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Branchville, New Jersey, you guys got 17 inches of snow. That's brutal. Brutal. All right, let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926. Kendall in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Great, great radio station. Hi, Kendall. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. First of all, I just want to preface this by saying I am a first responder. And I'm a paramedic. I care about people. But based on your last guy from Memphis, I just wanted to say when people insert themselves into an active police or like emergency situation, the risk of serious injury or death increases dramatically, not because anyone wants that outcome, but because the scenes are volatile and they're fast moving. They're dangerous. We're trained as responders to control the scenes precisely. And sometimes that looks like use of force, and that's not always brutality.
Yeah. Kendall, again, for me, the issue, I mean, again, don't hear me wrong here. The issue is not the shooting, right? I mean, that'll be investigated, and great. For me, the issue is right. The moment that guy decided to insert himself into an active crime scene. That, to me, is the problem.
Exactly, because, like I just said, they're volatile, they're fast-moving, they're dangerous. When people insert themselves, it creates, like, labeling events as brutality. It creates an issue that is not real in the moment.
I remember. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought there, Kendall.
So, like, it doesn't, like, when crowds interfere with the scene, it doesn't protect lives. It only makes the outcomes worse and the investigation harder, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
And that's fair enough. You know, the question I would have from the federal side, okay, are you guys adequately trained to go into these urban centers like this? And if there is a crime scene, secure that crime scene so your arresting officers can go and do what they need to do, and you've got others around guarding. And I don't know. I haven't, you know, there's not a lot of video of what led up to the incident. That would be my only issue, is were there enough federal agents there to secure that scene?
Yeah, and, you know, I think people are right to care about, like, accountability and justice, but I feel like justice requires, like, facts, not interference. And, like, safety also requires, like, space. So you have to, like you just said, you have to give those responders the opportunity to respond to these issues, right?
Kendall, I have to imagine, you know, go back to Renee Good, you know, and they're all, oh, well, she was a mother of three, dropped her kids off, whatever. You know what? Those officers don't know any of that. You know what they know? That a person behind the wheel of a van's trying to run them over. That's what they know.
Absolutely. In an emergency situation or a police encounter, safety is always, always, always the first. Like, when bystanders step into scenes, active scenes, the risk of serious injury, like I said to begin with, death rises. It rises fast for everyone involved, for the officers, for the perpetrator, for the person that's trying to help the perpetrator. Not every use of force is brutality, and every incident deserves to be judged on an evidence and policy, not politics.
Well, this is good advice. Kendall, what you're a first responder. What do you do?
I'm a paramedic.
All right. Well, and you guys are right there at the on the front line. So, well, God bless you, Kendall, and you be safe out there. And we really do appreciate your intel. This is very, very helpful to figuring out how this is going to play out. Let's go to Ron in New Bern, North Carolina, the talk station. What a great, great radio station. Hi, Ron. What's going on?
I just wanted to respond on how they were talking, the lady that called and said about the man that was talking about how they responded. She was right. Now, let me say this. If you, I was a military police for 28 years, Army. When you go to apprehend a person, you use the minimum force necessary to do the job. You will do the job. Let me say that. That was our motto. Okay. If a person resists, then what our format was to get them on the ground and then get them cuffed. But if I go up to them and I say, would you come with me? And if I don't have to touch them, that's the way I went. You need to get in the car, sir. That's the minimum force necessary to do the job. Put them on the ground, putting cuffs on them. That is what you might say, getting a little bit to the maximum force because the person decided to resist. Now, I was on active duty my last time in 2004. They may have changed the rules, but I can't see them changing them that much.
Ron, I'm just curious, though. I mean, based on what you've seen, and it seems as though all of these agitators, these rioters, they've been taught or instructed or coached to actively resist being arrested. I haven't seen any of them going in peace. So at that point, and you've got somebody who's fighting you that will not comply with your orders, what do you do at that point?
That's when you have to elevate the amount of force you could use. Now, when I first became an MP, the only thing we had was a nightstick and then our gun. Now, they have possibly a nightstick, they've got pepper spray, and they got other levels of force that they can elevate one at a time. And I'm not going to, let me say this, I would not want to have to use lethal force. But it appears that's what some of them are doing. They're getting them elevated to where they've got to, where they basically have to pull their gun. And once that happens, you're trained, shoot center of mass. That is to stop the attack.
And that's when your training kicks into gear. Again, they'll investigate this and analyze it. When you go back and listen, you hear one gunshot, and then there's a pause, and it's a pretty sustained pause, and then you hear rapid gunfire after that. What does that tell you, Ron? Can you give us any insight there?
Okay. This is what I would think, that the perpetrator, the man they put down, he shot first. And at that point, possibly every agent there could have pulled a weapon to shoot. Now, the Democrats right now, they want to, in Congress, in the Senate, they want to defund
ICE. They want to defund ICE.
They want to defund ICE. Do you know what the big thing on that ICE bill is? The biggest item on it, they got $12 million appropriated to make sure that every ICE agent has a body camera. And for you to say you don't want them to have it, that is completely stupid. You do not want any true investigation.
Mm.
Because then you got a bunch of photos, them to review to see who did what. As I heard a judge say, and he's a friend of mine, he's a Superior Court judge, he said, when you go in court and there is a crime, there is three sides to the story. There's what the defense says, there's what the prosecutor says, and then there's somewhere in between as far as what really happened.
Well,
that video will tell you what really
and
happened.
That's the point of that video. I think you're absolutely right. Ron, this is great information. Thank you for calling in today, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Tong is listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Tong. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. You doing good?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I wanted to respond to the gentleman earlier. He said the shooting was not justified. I would like to compare that to January 6th when Ashley was shot by police. Pretty sure she was practicing her First Amendment, which is, protesting. And she did not arm herself. Yes, she got shot anyway. Nobody on the left criticized that police. Nobody.
Well, that's true, and that's a fair point, is that nobody has raised that. As a matter of fact, that very issue, the selective indignation, was brought up at the White House press briefing this afternoon with Caroline Leavitt and Ashley Babbitt, J6, getting ready to they were already inside the Capitol. They were trying to storm the House chamber when one of the law enforcement officers there opened fire and killed her right there on the spot.
Yeah. Like they have either short memory about these incidents. And these are the same people who, a couple months before that, said defund the police. And then turn around when January 6th happened, raised the Capitol Police. Now they turn back to the federal police and criticize them for doing their job.
Well, and what happened on J6, and I'm in a very different position, my opinions of what happened on that day. I mean, if I'm a law-abiding American citizen, why am I trying to smash through glass and storm my way into the House chamber? The people on the other side of that glass, the law enforcement there, they were tasked with a single thing, which is to protect the lawmakers inside the House chamber. And at that point, they had no idea if any of those people were armed at all. And again, this has been debated, and I know I am on the other side of this issue with a lot of folks in the conservative movement. But again, my contention is, if you're going to be law-abiding, be law-abiding. Tong, gotta go. Thank you for that call. And I think we can work on another before we go to break. Let's go to Idaho. Manny, what is on your mind today?
Well, great show there, Todd. I just wanted to address that the situation in Minnesota. You know, I honestly believe that the mayor and, of course, the governor there, all you got to do is follow the money, because the mayor is giving the order to the police chief to tell his people to stand down. Law enforcement, most officers, I served as a state police officer in New Mexico. Most officers go out there and do their job, risk their lives every minute they're on duty, and it's not appreciated, okay? That's number one. Number two, if you got a police chief that's corrupt, in other words, he does whatever the mayor tells him to do, and it happens all over the country, Todd. The actual police officers, their hands are tied. They're not going to, if they disobey the order, they'll be fired or worse, you know? And that's the one thing that I hadn't heard before, you know? And the only thing I wanted to chime in on was this guy Mike from Memphis. He has no idea what he's talking about. You know, he was adamant about the fact that that lady was slammed to the ground. You know, having been there, you use as much force as needed to stop the action. That is 100% the way it is.
And to do it as quickly as possible, Manny, I have to imagine.
Yes, sir. As quickly as possible, because something like that in a split second, it can turn on you, and you probably are not going to get any help from the people standing by. They'll be too busy videotaping that officer's behind being handed to them. That's when they start taping, usually.
And that's my point, is I want to see the video leading up to that moment. That's the video, because typically when you see the video, you get a pretty good indication of what really happened.
Yes, sir. That's true. You know, and the bottom line is that, you know, law enforcement, those police officers are being told to not answer calls, just stay put, you know, make themselves invisible. That's what they're being told that by the mayor. And the Justice Department has to look into why that's being done. Why is the governor and why is the mayor so adamant about, you know, trying to get rid of ICE and throw ICE out of that state? There's a reason for that, and it's money.
It's a great point. And Manny, you know, another point of this, I was shocked to hear the numbers. The police chief was saying they've only got 600 police officers. That's shocking. But my understanding is back in 2020, they had a massive reduction in the number of officers, some 300 officers. So that tells me they are probably not at their full complement of officers for a city the size of Minneapolis.
Yes, sir. Well, and the thing, too, if you have a mayor that acts the way I think he is acting, most police officers are not going to want to serve under that because he's the one controlling the police chief. And if the police chief has no backbone, and then this is the end result. They just stay put and do nothing.
Yeah, that is a fair point. And, yeah, the police chief, not a big fan of that guy. O'Hara is his name. Hey, Manny, I've got to run. Great hearing from you, my friend. And give us a holler back on police stuff. I love that. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, Politico's got the headline up, and this is very accurate, actually. ICE shootings are freaking out the GOP. They're afraid to tell Trump. This story posted in by Jonathan Martin. He says, to cover the Republican Party in the age of Trump requires a grasp of cryptology. Because of the unflinching personal loyalty he demands and punishment he'll administer on public dissenters, leading GOP officials to speak in rhetorical code. And that's the way they're looking at this in the Politico piece. Immigration broadly, as one veteran senator granted anonymity to speak candidly over the weekend said, is for the GOP what healthcare is for the Democrats, a home game. Yet with viral images of Americans being shot in broad daylight, replacing migrants stampeding across the country's border, that advantage is quickly dissipating. They're now pleading with Trump and his advisors in private to calm tensions, as a handful did this weekend. However, most officials hope one of their colleagues can do that work so they don't have to play the heavy. You can talk to them, or can you talk to them? Are phrases I don't need access to text change to know are being relayed between top Republicans. When lawmakers do reach Trump, the dialogue is similar to those private messages he posted last week from European leaders. Eager to get him off his Greenland fetish, start with praise and flattery before moving to the heart of the matter. The first shift emerged Sunday night in an interview with the Wall Street Journal. Trump declined to say the officer who killed Alex Preddy had done the right thing and pronounced that, quote, we're reviewing everything and we'll come out with a determination. That came, it barely requires noting, all of one day after Trump justified the killing and his lieutenants did as well in even starker terms. Monday morning, Trump took concrete steps to marginalize Noam and Border Patrol Chief Gregory Bovino, who's become the face of the feds in Minnesota. So we understand Homan is expected to be in Minneapolis later this evening. Trump says Tom is tough but fair and will report directly to me. So there you go. That's where we're at now. Look, I don't necessarily have a problem with any of this. But the reality is, and this is where it's going to get squirrely, this is going to happen again, which is why the president needs to bring shock and awe and get this situation in Minneapolis under control. I mean, it really is that simple. All right, folks, we've got a government shutdown looming. We're going to get to all of that tomorrow. In the meantime, you folks be safe out there. We're certainly praying for all of you storm victims and hope the lights come back on soon. Be good, America.